Bevor es losgeht, ein kleiner Hinweis: Die heutige Episode ist eine englische Episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of our podcast Open Source and Money. Today we are talking to Mehan Jayasuriya. He is a senior program officer at the Mozilla Foundation. And the Mozilla Foundation is, as you maybe all know, is a non-profit organization that was funded to support the Firefox browser and Thunderbird email client. And nowadays, they are working on keeping the internet a public resource, besides, of course, Firefox and Thunderbird. And they're working on getting the internet open, accessible to us all. Mehan, great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Paul. Excited to be here.
And maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit and tell us what exactly you do at the Mozilla Foundation.
Sure, yeah. So like Paul said, I'm a senior program officer. That means I'm mostly focused on grant making through different kinds of awards programs that we run at the foundation. I have been funding open source technologies at Mozilla for a little more than 7 years now, so going on 8 years. And I funded a variety of different types of projects throughout that time. I started out more in the hardware and networking space, kind of moved into the software space. Last few years, I've been pretty focused on funding open source AI research. But yeah, kind of across the spectrum of open source projects. And, you know, both myself and Mozilla, we've learned a lot about sustainability in the world of open source in those years. And yeah, excited to talk a bit about that today.
So maybe we start at the beginning. So Mozilla is a foundation, but maybe you can just tell us, what is a foundation?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a little bit of a philosophical question, maybe. I mean, I think there's different ways of looking at it, right? I think here in the US, we have, you know, a classification of what a foundation means, and there's kind of tax rules around that. And, you know, that's maybe the less interesting answer to the question, but there are some kind of formalities, right, about what it looks like to be a nonprofit foundation in the US. And I think also, you know, Europe and the UK and other places have different types of rules as well around that stuff. You know, I think that, to me, the simplest answer to that question, right, is an organization that uses money as a tool, either to address problems in the world that they're interested in solving, or uses money as a tool to kind of lift up good work that they see happening. And so, you know, primarily through grant making, but other mechanisms, foundations basically, you know, they put together a pool of money, either they have an endowment or they fundraise themselves to get some money. And then they give out that money and they direct that money toward projects that they think are interesting in the world, or people they think that are interesting in the world. And I think the best version of a foundation is one that is then measuring the impact that money is having, and then continuously kind of improving and refining their approach to make sure that their money is, you know, that they're maximizing the impact relative to the amount of money that they're putting in.
Yeah, that's interesting that you talk like money is like a tool for you, because that still means you have to get money, of course. Mm-hmm. And what's the relationship like to work at a foundation that isn't really bound to generate revenue, right? That's not your primary goal, but still you have to think about it. You can't just spend money all the time without getting some in. How's that relationship to money?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. You know, I mean, there are these big legacy foundations that have endowments, right? So for example, like the Rockefeller Foundation, right? There was a big chunk of Rockefeller money that kind of established that foundation, and they've invested that money, and they have kind of a, you know, a large pool of money they can kind of draw from, right, year to year. And that's not really how the Mozilla Foundation works. We are a, you know, grant-making organization, but we're also a fund-seeking organization. So we have to go out and fundraise ourselves to get the money that we give out. So we're in a little bit of an in-between place. But actually, I think that that tension is largely a good thing, because it keeps us in touch with what it is like to be a recipient of funds, right? And so, you know, if we make grants to somebody, they have to, you know, produce a final report. They have to show their progress. They have to measure their impact, all that stuff. We have to do the same stuff too, right? The money that we are giving away, largely we're raising it from other foundations. So we're having to file our own final reports. We're having to apply for funds. We're having to jump through all of the same hoops. And I think that that, in my mind, it kind of keeps us more in touch with the feeling of being a recipient of funds, and keeps us in touch a little bit with what some of the pain points are there. And I think that that can be kind of a good thing. But we do have to kind of earn our keep in terms of our own fundraising if we need to, if, you know, in order to kind of continue to grant make. I mean, I think that, you know, I've worked at for-profit institutions in the past, and I would say, you know, it is a different relationship to money you have in the foundation world. I mean, certainly we have budgets. We're meant to stick to our budgets. We're meant to not overspend. We have to be careful about how we spend money. In a lot of cases, you know.
And that's also a good thing, like spending money on bullshit things.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we don't, you know, we're maybe not quite as tight as like a, you know, really bootstrapped startup, right? But we also don't have the amount of budget that you might have at a really large tech company. We're kind of somewhere in between. I think that, you know, we're not necessarily optimizing things for profit, right? That's the whole point of being in the foundation world, is that's not the kind of yardstick that you're using to measure your progress. But you do still have to be mindful about money. You want to spend money in a way that is efficient. You don't want to waste money, right? So I think, you know, it's a different kind of relationship with money maybe, but I think it's largely a healthy one for the most part.
So for you, money well spent is not only well spent if it like returns profit, which is also maybe an okay thing to do, mm-hmm, but it's more like on the impact that something does have. So maybe you can talk a little bit more about your experience, because we at the Prototype Fund, we had always had the experience that in the long term, projects still need some way of income to sustain themselves. Like, mm-hmm, of course, some have the privilege to be like long time funded, but mm-hmm, most of the time that isn't the case. So do you seek projects that like where it is at least possible to get money, or is your mission to be like, okay, we want to keep the internet public, whatever it costs, we will do it, and we will watch out for the money afterwards?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's, you know, you're kind of getting into that sustainability space a little bit around open source projects with that question, mm-hmm, which is something I always love to talk about and something I spend a lot of time thinking about. So I think it's both, right? And I think that that's actually one thing that it kind of frees us up a little bit as a nonprofit foundation to kind of think about projects in this way. So I think in the for-profit space, right, if you're investing money into something, it has to get a return. It has to be something that can succeed. It has to be something that can, you know, ideally it brings back more money than you're putting in, right? And I think one of the things that we're a little bit freer to do is to invest in projects that we know may not succeed in the long term, to kind of take riskier bets, to be okay with the idea of failure, or be okay with the idea that not every project lasts forever. And that doesn't mean that it's not having an impact, right? I think sometimes we'll fund open source projects and we will see that there's probably not a ton of potential for them to last, you know, a year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. But in the time that they exist, they might contribute some collateral or some resources or ideas to the open source ecosystem that others can then use and kind of build on top of. Or we might be paying somebody money to have the experience of working on an open source project full time. And that's an experience they can carry forward into their next project along with the kind of philosophy about doing that. And so there's all of these things that we see as good outputs that can be independent from the lifespan of a project, right? Now, of course, there are open source projects that we fund that are well positioned to last for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. There are projects, right, that have that momentum and that community built around them, or that manage to build that in the time that we're working with them. And we aspire to work with those projects to help them find a path towards sustainability in the long term. You know, financial sustainability is a piece of that, right? And I think that is in some ways the hardest piece these days to kind of to figure out. You know, as you know, there's very few organizations like Mozilla and like Prototype Fund these days that are giving grants to open source projects. A lot of the grants that exist are for that early stage of getting the project off the ground, or they're project-based grants. There's not a lot of core support for organizations that are stewards of open source projects. There's not a lot of money available for folks to just do maintenance work, to address security vulnerabilities, to build out community infrastructure, all that kind of stuff. So we try to provide funding for projects to do that kind of work, but we also know that our funding is limited in terms of the amount of time that it's provided for, right? We provide 1 year of funding for projects usually, and that's it. So we try in that time to help them figure out how to talk to other foundations, how to put together a pitch deck, how to kind of build out their resources so that they're ready for that kind of growth and to receive those kinds of funds. Do they have the legal structures in place? Have they figured out what kind of entity they are? Do they need fiscal sponsorship? All those kinds of things. But we also try to be really mindful of the non-financial things that impact that kind of sustainability and scalability, right? So do they have the community infrastructure in place to kind of grow their community? If it's a project with a loan maintainer, is there a succession plan? Is there a kind of model for the leadership and the stewardship of the project? Is there a mechanism for that person to step away and allow somebody else to become the kind of lead maintainer? Do they have the pieces in place to grow their community, right? Are there good first issues for people to work on? Is there a code of conduct? All of these kinds of things, right? We see all of those things as individual pieces of that puzzle towards sustainability. And we try to address as many of those as we can in the year that we work with projects.
Yeah, that's really interesting that money is just a tool again, or a tool in the tool chain to work together towards a sustainable project. And maybe you can talk a little more, what's the deal of getting funded by you? So why do you do it after all? Like, of course, your mission is to keep the internet public, but that's it. And then...
Yeah, I mean, I think Mozilla, that is the umbrella under which all of Mozilla's work kind of sits. And it has been, that's been the umbrella from the start, right? Keep the internet open and free for all. I think that, we have taken that in a few different directions over the years, as we have seen the kind of threats to openness and freedom on the internet kind of evolve and shift over time. And I think one of the things that's good about the most recent version of Mozilla is we're becoming a little bit more attuned to the immediate problems that we're seeing, and we're becoming a little bit more focused on some of those immediate problems. I think in the past, Mozilla had a very, very broad way of looking at this stuff, and we were working on a lot of different things in that area of internet openness and freedom, and we were working on policy stuff, and we were working on net neutrality, and we were, funding open source projects. We're doing all this kind of stuff, right? And I think we're still involved in some of those things to varying degrees, but I think there has been kind of a focusing that's happened over the last couple of years. And also, to be frank, our resources have become a bit more constrained, like many other organizations. And so it behooves us to be a bit more focused and intentional with how we use the funds that we have, and to make sure that those funds are really kind of moving the ball forward. So I think about 3 years ago, we decided to adopt a kind of impact goal organization-wide at the foundation that would kind of direct most of our investment, right? Not 100% of our investment, but something like 60% of our investment. And the goal was basically, let's put as much of our money and energy in one area and see if we can actually make a difference and see if we can actually move the ball forward. And it was an attempt to kind of see, if we have that kind of focus and direction, will we be able to kind of see the impact that we've had in the ecosystem? And the impact goal that we chose at that time was trustworthy AI, right? We kind of saw AI as this like emerging topic of concern. It was not quite yet at the, the phase of like, it was not like a dinner table conversation for most people around the world. But people who were really enmeshed in the space were seeing it as something that was really coming down the pike. And so we kind of, one of the things we did, I think, was instead of saying, let's push back on a bad thing, which is historically something that Mozilla and a lot of NGOs and nonprofits have done, we said, let's envision the world that we want and let's try to kind of advocate toward it, right? So the idea was, can we encourage and foster the development of AI technologies that are worthy of people's trust, that are adding value to people's lives, that are not extracting value from people's lives, that are operating in a way that is, relatively free of bias, transparent, trustworthy, all that kind of stuff. And I think we did a really good job in this instance of picking a topic kind of right before it became mainstream and right before it became a thing that a lot of people were aware of, and a lot of people were talking about. And the good thing there is, at the moment that happened, that moment with OpenAI and all this kind of stuff, we already had 2 years or so of making the investments, learning the ecosystem, kind of getting involved in that ecosystem. And so a lot of our programs were kind of already had some momentum in that space, and we're already doing good work in that space and doing good grant making that space. And so I think that's the way that we have been kind of, grant making in the last few years. I think we'll continue to grant make the next few years. We have a specific focus, we have an opinion, we have a kind of specific set of things that we're trying to achieve through our grant making, and we're inviting projects who are aligned with our values and who kind of address whatever those kind of immediate concerns are that we're looking at to, you know, come and consider working with us. And so for the program that I run, we have a different topic every single year. It's always aligned with trustworthy AI, but we look at a kind of different slice of that or a different kind of subset of trustworthy AI projects each year. So this past year, we're looking at projects in the environmental justice, climate justice, and AI space. So anybody who is either building a project that can be used to measure and address the environmental impact of AI technologies, or somebody who is using AI in a way that is bettering the environment, that is bettering the health of the natural world, or that is benefiting human communities through addressing environmental and climate concerns. And so that's, you know, that's our way of kind of saying, you know, let's encourage people to build AI technologies that are trustworthy at the specific intersection with the environment. And I think you'll continue to see us come up with different kind of themes like that. And we, you know, we'll put out a call for proposals. We'll kind of lift up examples of types of things we're looking for, and then we ask people to kind of send us proposals.
And how do you choose that topic? Like, do you just sit together in a room, or of course it's taking longer than one meeting, I guess, but you sit there at the foundation and you and a team of others, you sit there and you think about, okay, what would be a topic which is going to make an impact in the next 1-2 years? Mm-hmm. We want to focus on that. And then you just think about it, brainstorm it, and then research it maybe? Or maybe what's the process like?
Yeah, I think right now it's not all that different than what you described. I think that, you know, what I try to do is a bit of triangulation, right? There's a couple of different qualities I'm looking for, and I try to find a topic that hits all those notes, right? So one of the qualities I look for, you know, the program that I run, and I guess we haven't even talked about or named the program yet, it's called the Mozilla Technology Fund. That program, you know, up to this year has been lucky enough to be internally funded by Mozilla. What that means is we don't have an outside foundation or an outside funder who's funding the program. So really, we just have to answer to ourselves, right? We don't have to, there's nobody else's priorities at the moment that we need to take into consideration when we're choosing our topic. And that gives us a tremendous amount of freedom, and that gives us a tremendous amount of leeway. It's really nice. I mean, it will not last forever, but that has been the way it's worked for the last couple of years as we've gotten this program off the ground, because it's a relatively new program. So, you know, in my mind, given that amount of freedom and flexibility, we need to use that wisely because that's a gift. And so I always try to be on the edge of something that is of interest to Mozilla and kind of pushing us into a new area. And so I think about MTF as we do almost like exploratory grant making in a space where Mozilla might want to be more involved. And it's a way of us to kind of, clear a path for Mozilla to get more involved in ecosystem if that's something that's interesting to them. So we did that, you know, 2 years ago. I picked auditing tools for AI as a topic, right? And that was similarly at the time, there were one or two projects and one or two people at Mozilla who were interested in that topic. I could see that it was a topic that was could be of some interest to Mozilla in the future. We did some grant making around that. And then a year later, way more people at Mozilla have gotten interested and gotten involved in that topic. And so I'm always looking to kind of inch things forward and move things forward a little bit in that way. Another thing I'm looking for is, subsets of the open source ecosystem that are under-resourced and where we're seeing kind of small, new, kind of fledgling projects with good ideas where a little bit of money might help them get over that hump between the beginning of the project and the first year of the project. And I think that that's one of the spaces, you know, different foundations have different amounts of money that they can grant make. We generally do $50,000 US grants, which is not a tremendous amount of money. It's a small amount of money in the grand scheme of things. And so, you know, the types of projects that we found for which that is the most transformative is those early stage small projects. And so I'm looking for a region in the open source ecosystem where there are a good number of those projects and where we're seeing kind of good ideas bubble up and where we think that those small grants can have an impact and lift up some of those projects. The last thing that I look for, you know, a big part of this program, we use the money almost as a way to bring people to the table, and we use the money as a way to pay people to, to focus on their open source project for a full year and to give them the opportunity to do that, which is something that most of these people don't have. Most of the folks we work with have full-time jobs as, you know, developers, designers, product managers, whatever, and they're doing this stuff on the side of their desk. And a Mozilla grant is often an opportunity for them to step away from that full-time work for 6 months or 12 months and to kind of, you know, put themselves more fully into the open source project. You know, the money is a way that we get people to come to the table, but really, a lot of what we're trying to do is to work with them more holistically than just cutting them a check. You know, I can talk a bit more about this, but we had a previous open source grant making program before we ran Mozilla Technology Fund. And that program kind of did just cut a check to people and ask them to do X, Y, and Z things on their project. And that was kind of it. And we kind of found, you know, there were all of these other things that happened with the projects over the course of that year that were not getting addressed, right? Sometimes a core maintainer would leave, sometimes the roadmap would change, sometimes they would uncover a bunch of technical debt or they would uncover a security vulnerability. And a lot of those things would kind of derail progress on the project. And so a lot of what we do now is, you know, we have a cohort model and it's not quite an incubator, but it's much higher touch, I think, than what we had done in the past in working with awardees. And we try to, you know, when the projects come on, we do an inventory of needs. We figure out what are the kinds of expertise they don't have access to that they need. We try to connect them with those experts. We try to find people internally and externally to run workshops. I mean, it's probably not all that different, honestly, than what you all do at Prototype Fund. Like, it's a pretty high touch model. Maybe not quite at that incubator level, but I think, you know, we try to address the needs of the projects holistically. So I'm often looking for topics where I feel like I have enough experts at hand to be able to call on for that stuff, right? And I think that, you know, we're lucky at Mozilla to have fellows and senior fellows who are experts in certain topics. We have folks that we partner with. So for this year, you know, it meant a lot to me that we have our partners in the Green Screen Coalition, that we have our partners that we're working on the Catalyst Fund with. You know, there's enough pieces where it was kind of like, okay, we have these folks kind of rotating around the Mozilla universe that I can kind of call on who are already experts in environmental technology and climate technology, who might be able to step in and help mentor these projects, might be able to step in and help run some workshops, that kind of thing, or even just to call on people as judges and, you know, for the review committee to come in and help us look at the proposals and decide who to make awards to.
Yeah, that's it really sounds a lot like a Prototype Fund in with a more focus on one theme. I was still thinking about the financial freedom you mentioned earlier and how Mozilla is granting you this freedom. And I just wanted to ask, like, of course, Mozilla in the end has to get the money in to fund you. And my assumption is if you say Mozilla is funding it out of their own pocket, it's funded actually by the Mozilla Corporation, right? Or more or less. Is there like a connection between you and them, or is it like, you know, there's getting money in on the other end of the organization and you can spend it all you like, or more or less all you like?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, pursuant to the US tax rules, there is a limit to how much money the Mozilla Corporation can give us, right? So they're very constrained in how much money they can give us directly. They can pay us money, I think, via like service agreements. So they can hire the foundation effectively to do work for them, but they can't just give us a big pot of money, right? So we have money on the foundation side. We have, you know, anybody in the nonprofit world in the US will be familiar with this language. We have restricted funds, we have unrestricted funds. The restricted funds are funds that come in from other foundations that have some strings attached, right? The funds have to be used for X, Y, and Z things. They might be tied to a specific budget. There might be specific amounts of money we can use for specific things. Unrestricted funds is the opposite of that, right? It's funds that we can direct kind of however we want to, as long as they're being directed in a way that's consistent with our values as a foundation. So MTF has been lucky enough to kind of draw from those unrestricted funds for the last couple of years. And so, you know, really the only kind of constraints are it has to be something that speaks to our own strategy and that's kind of moving the ball forward for our own strategy. I can give an example, though. You know, before we started Mozilla Technology Fund, we had a program called Mozilla Open Source Support. That was a program that ran for 5 years, and that was a program that started on the Mozilla Corporation side of the house. And it was a program that made much larger grants, and it had a much larger budget. That was like a $2 million a year program. And it was all funded through the corporation, right? And the corporation, had more money to spend at the time on those sorts of things. They also were way less restricted in how they could make those grants. Mm-hmm. And they paid them out effectively as contracts. So they could pay them out to for-profit entities, nonprofit entities, kind of whoever. So we actually got involved in that program kind of midway through, because it grew to a point where they couldn't run it on the corporation side, and they saw that we had all of this expertise in grant making, and so they kind of brought us in to run the mechanics of that program. And I did that for the last 2-3 years of that program until it was effectively shut down. But in that case, right, they had this $2 million a year, but they couldn't just give us that money and tell us to give it away, because the tax rules prohibited them from doing that. Mm-hmm. So we built all the mechanics for the program, and we helped figure out, how to select the grantees and how to make the contracts with the grantees and all that kind of stuff. But the money still got paid out through the corporation side. So that in that case, all of that money went out via contracts. And so, folks would apply. They would say what they wanted to work on. The work that they were going to do would get put into a contract. And then they would effectively contract with the Mozilla Corporation. And that's the way that they would get the grant. But, in some of those cases, I think some of those awards went as high as $150,000, maybe even $250,000 US. I mean, there were some very large awards that went out through that program. And that was, at the time, the corporation had that kind of money to spend just to give back to the open source ecosystem. Unfortunately, they don't anymore, which is why that program doesn't exist. But that was another way that we had done it in the past.
But would you say that if that program had already been funded by the foundation, that it would have like a longer sustainability? Because I have the feeling like corporations are very good at spending large amount of money in a short notice if they really want to, or if they have the pocket money to do it. But they are also really good at canceling a project because it's not making profits, it's not our core strategy, blah, blah, blah. And now we're getting rid of it. So is the foundation more sustainable in that way because it's more not so focused on money, or?
That's a very good question. I think there's probably some truth to that. I mean, I think the corporation is under the pressure of trying to find revenue streams, right? That's not a pressure that we have. We have to fundraise. It's a similar pressure. But yeah, I mean, I think that they, they're looking at Firefox, they're looking at the VPN, they're looking at these different products and services that they're developing, and they have a very keen eye toward what is the thing that is going to be profitable and sustainable in the long term and that will help us to kind of sustain the corporation, right? I think they have a keen sense that, some of this money that they have received through partnerships and deals with other tech companies is not going to last forever. It may not be the amount that has been historically in the long run, and they are really actively working to diversify their revenue streams. And, product is a big part of that, right? I think that in the case of Mozilla Open Source Support, that was a project that was meant to just give away money to kind of pay it forward and kind of support open source projects. Which is really cool, right? And most corporations wouldn't do that. But, even the Mozilla Corporation has financial constraints. And so when their budget got a lot tighter, that was a thing that they had to cut because they just couldn't make the justification financially. So that is a kind of pressure that we don't really often face. But, we have a budget too, and our budget can vary from year to year. And if our budget gets smaller, there may be some programs that we have to give up, right? So I think that's not unique to the corporate side. But is the foundation more sustainable? I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think we're all subject to kind of larger forces in a way, right? So I think in the case of the corporation, there was a huge financial downturn in the tech world, and that impacted the corporation, and that was what led to them cutting the MOS program as well as some other programs on the corporate side. But there's ebbs and flows in the foundation world as well. I think that on the foundation side, we often try to forecast and fundraise and think 3 years ahead, 5 years ahead, and kind of pad out our budget so that we can weather whatever storms kind of come. But that's not to say that we're immune to that sort of thing. We're maybe subject to slightly different forces than the corporation is.
Yeah, I find it just interesting that if you are a company or corporation, you're much more focused on the profits. You're often also much more focused on the short to middle term profits, which is maybe something a foundation might be better at, to have a, or at least to have a greater look on the long term.
Yeah, I mean, you know, something that maybe brings these two threads together is that, you know, when there was that big downturn in the kind of tech industry in 2020, you know, before the decision was made to kind of wind down the MAS program, Mitchell Baker, who was the executive chairwoman of Mozilla and I think the CEO of the Mozilla Corporation at the time as well, she basically asked me, you know, we have put $10 million into this MAS program over the last 5 years, roughly $10 million. Can you show me what impact that money has had? Can you show me what have we gotten out of all those funds that we've put into the program? And nobody had ever asked us to do that before, right? And in the years that we had been running that program, right? And you know, this is on us also. It's on the people running the program, right? Probably we should have been thinking about it all those years, but nobody had ever asked us that question before, right? Because the money was available. The idea was, let's just use this money in a way that benefits the open source ecosystem. Let's pay it forward. And the only metrics that really mattered to us at the time were how many awards are we making? How many people are applying for these awards? What's the supply and demand, basically, right, with these awards? And you know, how many people are we helping with this money? But what is the impact of that funding, right? Kind of taking that question one step further. So we give the money to the awardee. What do they produce or not produce? And what impact can we demonstrate relative to that money? That was just something we had never thought about before. So we had to kind of go back and like retroactively figure out or try to figure out the answer to that question. It took, I don't know how many months, 3 months or 6 months or something like that. We had to interview folks that we had given awards to. We had to go through GitHub data. Like, we did a ton of research to try to figure out the answer to that question. And we found some answers. We put together, it was like a 75-page report, basically, to try to detail some of that stuff. You know, I think we did our best to kind of demonstrate the impact that the program had had. I think relative to the amount of financial pressure the corporation was under at the time, you know, that wasn't enough to justify the existence of a program that was, you know, drawing so much budget, and that's okay. But I think the shift that happened was that, you know, from that day forward, I became really laser focused on that question, and I think that I am always prepared at a minute's notice to demonstrate the impact of that my work is having. And I don't wait for somebody to ask me that question anymore. I'm always trying to be prepared to answer it. And so with Mozilla Technology Fund, we have kind of tried to build out the tooling from the get-go to measure the impact that our grant making is having in the world. It's a tough thing to do, and it's a tough question to answer. All foundations are trying to answer this question right now, more or less, and nobody's really like cracked the code. But you know, we have built out some tooling to do that. We're trying to refine that tooling over time. We're trying to tweak it and kind of get better at measuring that impact. And then this year, we're going to put out our first impact report. And part of my goal is for every year of grant making we do, there should be a public report that shows what impact those funds have had. It's a small fund, the grants are small, but I think even so, you can demonstrate some impact relative to that funding. And in the long term, I hope that's the kind of thing that, you know, if there are external funders who are interested in working with us and funding this program, that's the kind of thing that we can hand to them to show them, okay, well, you know, if we put $500,000 into this program, here's the kind of impact that it has on the other side. And so, you know, I think that question from Mitchell was really helpful for me just in my own mindset, thinking about how to measure this stuff and to be in a space of continuous measurement and continuously kind of documenting that impact. So we're always ready to have that conversation. We're always ready to demonstrate that impact.
And that's fascinating to me that you are focused on impact because, of course, that's really good and great. But in my mind, when you started that story, I was thinking about, okay, she's going to ask about money. Like, she's going to ask, okay, I give you $10 million. What am I getting out of it again? What am I getting back? But that she actually talked about impact is really fascinating to me because that shows, like, okay, there's a value which isn't money in there. And that's also really interesting because impact is like such a difficult term to define. And I really struggle. Okay, is the impact if someone's focusing on a project for half a year, learning something really valuable, and then not continuing the project because it turned out it wasn't that great of an idea, or I don't know, some other restrictions, but the person really learned something out of it. Like, you could just watch technically about it and be like, okay, the project was for half a year, someone was funded, and then that's it. Nothing came out of it. But to also have in mind, like, no, there's a person behind that project learning something, contributing something, maybe moving to another project or somewhere else. Like, that's a point of impact I never really saw, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, as grant makers, I think we need to be open-minded about what impact looks like. And I think we also, we have to be storytellers a little bit too, right? Because I think that people don't always understand all these different types of impact. Like, a project failing can be impact. Somebody trying a new idea and figuring out that it's not the right path and changing direction can be impact. Like you said, a person learning new skills can be an impact. A person having the opportunity to work on an open source project full time and kind of learning the ethos of working open and then applying that in the future to other projects, those are all, in my mind, those are all types of impact, right? And I think that part of what I'm trying to do is figuring out the ways to get those stories from the grantees and then to do my own storytelling around that stuff to try to demonstrate that impact. I mean, of course, we also, you know, we have, we try to show the growth in the number of contributors, the growth in the number of downstream dependencies. Like, there's all that kind of stuff too, right? And you can tell a story about impact with those things. But to me, the more qualitative kind of storytelling around these projects and the journey they've had with us and the stuff that they've learned, the new skills they've acquired, that's a really rich part of the impact of a project in the world.
Yeah, that's nice to hear that there are people out there thinking that way. Okay, maybe one last question about foundations and open source. We are, of course, an open source podcast. And my question is there a special connection? Because I feel like, okay, open source is some kind of idealistic good thing for the world. And foundations are also more or less all on focused on doing good stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there a connection between those, or is it just random because Mozilla was like, okay, Firefox is open source, guess I'm gonna be an open source foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm extremely biased in answering this question because I think that Mozilla was born out of the open source movement. I think everything about Mozilla is kind of steeped in the ethos of open source. And we're honestly big believers that working open is the thing that begets good values in technology, right? And it begets good values in community, right? It gets you openness, transparency, it can be a tool for mitigating bias. We just see all of these great downstream impacts of working open. And so we're always trying to teach people how to use that methodology in their work. And we're always trying to encourage and support people who are using that methodology. So I think, you know, for Mozilla, absolutely, it's not a coincidence, right? I think that, you know, we came into the world working open. We're very lucky to be able to get Firefox off the ground and find some success. And that success was because it was open. It was not a coincidence, right? Firefox became Firefox because it was an open source project and not for any other reason. And all of the benefits of Firefox for privacy, security, all those things are because it is open source. And so, we're really big believers in open source and working open. But for the foundation world in general, I mean, I think you're striking on something, right? Which is that, most people who are working on open source projects are values driven in some way, right? And they're doing it out of some kind of adherence to or belief in some set of values. People can make a lot of money in this world as technologists working on closed technologies, working for big corporations, working on things that maybe have a kind of dubious impact on the world at large, or in the worst case, are maybe kind of extractivist technologies. And so there's always that temptation, of course, for people who are skilled at technical fields, skilled at design, all those kinds of things, skilled at building products. And so the people who either choose to focus on open source or who even take some time out of their day to contribute to an open source project are usually kind of like philosophically aligned, with the open source movement at large. And I think the foundation world is similar, right? People in the foundation world often give up having a higher salary to work at a nonprofit organization because they really believe in something, because they want to have a positive impact in the world, because there are problems they want to address or kind of good things that they want to lift up in the world. And so there is a natural alignment there, I think. I think also, open source projects, the flip side of that, right? Like, they can be quite messy because they are open and because people can come and go. And because
everybody can be part of it.
Exactly, right? It's consensus-based decision-making. It's community management. You have to manage personality conflicts and things like that. And I think, unlike with the corporate world, you don't always have the benefit of a contract or a legal team or HR team to, mitigate that stuff, or, to help, kind of be a referee in some of those cases. Like, you kind of have to just figure it out yourself. And the foundation world can be a bit like that as well. It can be very personality driven. It can be a bit messy in that way. And so I think that's also kind of a kinship, right? The stuff that we navigate, the challenges that we navigate, are maybe not all that different than the challenges that open source projects navigate. So I feel like there is a bit of a kinship maybe between foundations and open source. And I think that there is, at the very least, right? I think that if you think about doing work that is kind of values driven, I think to me, open source work is that, and foundation work is that also.
Yeah. And also thinking back to the start of the episode, like, I think open source projects and foundations, maybe both, look at money as a tool and not like the only goal most open source projects. I mean, there are, of course, open source projects focused on money, but most of them are like, okay, we need money to fund ourselves, to give money to developers, or just fund the servers or whatever. But in the end, we want to build the product, and money is a tool for that. And foundations may be a little bit of the same.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Right. I think that most people in the foundation world are doing the work they do, and, without money as the primary motivator, right? Money may be part of the motivator. I mean, I draw a salary from the Mozilla Foundation, right? I have to support myself, support my family. But my primary motivation for being at Mozilla is not money, right? And if my primary motivation was money, I would probably be working somewhere else. And I think similarly for people in the open source world, I think probably very few people in the open source world are doing it for the money, right? I think if you are, you're probably working on an open source project that is supported by a much larger corporation or something like that. Most people are doing it for some other reason, right? So there is that, values-driven piece of it, right? Where it's like, yeah, we're all kind of like the misfits in this world who are motivated by something other than money. And I think that there's a natural...
We're so crazy.
Yeah, but there's a natural kinship in that, right? I think that there's a connection between foundations and open source maintainers maybe in that way.
That might be good last words. Thank you, Mehan, for being with us. And I guess we'll see us in the next episode, or hear us in the next episode.
Thanks so much for having me. I always love having an opportunity to talk about this stuff. And thank you for all the work that Prototype Fund does. You've been a huge inspiration to me over the years, and have always loved kind of comparing notes with you all. I always think of you as kind of kindred spirits in this movement.
That's really nice to hear. But now I remember that you should do an advertisery plug, like, where when do you fund again, and where can people apply, and why should people apply to you?
Sure.
All this stuff.
So Mozilla Technology Fund, we do generally annual calls for proposals. Generally they come out sometime between let's say like August and October, so August, September kind of time frame. Sign up for the Mozilla Foundation email list, and stay tuned to our website. We'll be making some announcements about the call for proposals likely later this summer, announcing the topic and all that kind of stuff. The reason to work with us is that you will have a kind of 12-month experience where you'll work in a cohort with as many as 10 other teams. You will be able to learn from those teams. You'll be able to teach folks within those teams. It'll be kind of a two-way experience, and we'll also be bringing in external folks. We'll be running workshops. This year, we're going to fly everybody to Amsterdam to have some time in person together, to work together. So we try to provide a kind of holistic experience in addition to the funding, and kind of address whatever pieces of your project are kind of holding you back from sustainability. And, we always look at the projects like a campsite. We try to leave them in a better shape than they were when they came in. And so we'll work with you to try to identify what are those kind of pieces of infrastructure, what are those things we can help you build over the course of a year that will put you in a much better position to grow at the end of that year. So if that's something that sounds interesting to you, you're an open source maintainer, you're working on a project that is addressing some piece of the AI ecosystem in a trustworthy way, do please look us up, and feel free to reach out with any questions.
Very, very nice. That sounds great. So if you want to apply, watch out for announcements, and hear you in the next episode. Bye-bye.